الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة يذلهم الله في ظل يوم لا ظل إلا ظل عرشه وقال شباب نشأ في عبادة ربي صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited before you verses 9 and 10 of Surah Kahf, the chapter of the cave. Surah Kahf is in a 15th juz of the Quran Kareem that extends till the 16th juz of the Quran Kareem. Generally, when wahi and revelation used to come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one verse, two verse, or few verses used to be revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed the entire Surah Kahf, which is almost one juz of the Quran Kareem, comprising of 110 verses, just in one revelation. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala dispatched 70,000 malaika, 70,000 angels with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to come and convey Surah Kahf to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that person who recites Surah Kahf on a Friday for an entire week, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will save him and protect him from any forms of fitna. In Surah Kahf, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala presents to us a very thought-provoking incident regarding some Allah-conscious youth. There was a king in the past by the name of Daqyanus. He was an idol worshipper and he imposed on the people idol worshipping. Once a year, they would gather all the people and they would celebrate that idol worshipping. There were some youth in that community who felt that idol worshipping was wrong. Their natural instinct told them that there is one Allah. There's no partners to Allah. They believed in Tawheed, in the oneness of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And they were also told to join that gathering. But because of the firm belief, yaqeen and conviction in the oneness of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they refused to attend. They distanced themselves from that gathering. These youth had a few challenges in front of them. First and foremost, they were the children, they were the sons of the ministers of the king. It is expected of the ministers to cooperate with the king. And the children of the ministers to also cooperate with the king. Second, they were not cooperating. They were threatened with their life. They were told that they are going to be killed. They distanced themselves from this gathering of kufr and shirk. They were fully aware of the challenges that lie ahead of them. Few youngsters and the king with the entire kingdom are looking for these youngsters. These youngsters, they made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma. Oh our Rabb, send your rahmat down upon us and prepare for us from in our matter, in our challenges, in our difficulties as youth, trying to correct, take the correct path. Guide us on the correct path and you look after us. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guided them toward a cave in which they slept for more than 300 years. From this we understand that if the youth, they are determined to look after iman, look after the yaqeen and various other challenges that they come across in life. If they take that initiative, they take that step forward, then most definitely Allah's madad, Allah's nusrat will come with them. Respected elders and friends, in our community, we have various groups of people. We have the ulama, we have the seniors, we have the women folk, and we also have the youth. And all the various sectors of the community, it is like the various limbs of the body. We have the head that performs a certain function. We have the eyes, the ears, and the tongue, they perform a certain function. We have the heart of the body that performs a certain function. And we also have the hands and the limbs, the legs that also perform a crucial, important function. The ulama in the community, they represent the head of the body. They guide the people, tell them what Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam want of them. We have responsible people in the community. They represent the eyes, the ears and the tongue of the people. We also have the women folk. Allah has blessed them with love, with muhabbat. They are the ones that have love and muhabbat in the heart. And they feed the family people with love and muhabbat. And we also have the shabab. We also have the youth in the community. And they represent the hands and the legs of the body. Just as the head is important, the ulama is important in the community. Just as the eyes, the ears, the tongue, they play a crucial role in the body, the senior people in the community, they also play an important role. The women folk, just as the heart is important, the women folk, they also play an important role. But at the same time, just as the hands and the feet, they play a crucial part in the body. Without the hands, without the legs, what can we do? You can have everything intact, but if you don't have your hands, you don't have your legs, what are you able to do? You are crippled, you are lame. Likewise, the youth of a community, they represent the hands and the legs of the body. And they play a very important and a crucial role in the community and society. The youth in our community, they are regarded to be the strength of the community. The youth, they are regarded to be the nerve of the community. The youth are regarded to be the central focal part of the community. It is said, the world of today exemplifies the thinking and the training of the youth of yesterday. How the youth of yesterday were trained? What was the education? What was the thinking and philosophy of the youth of yesterday that is being represented in the world today? And what is the thinking, the youth of the youth? What is the training of the youth of today? What is the philosophy and ideology of the youth of today that is going to be represented in the world of tomorrow? And therefore, it is most important that we focus on the proper upbringing of our youth and paying attention to our youth. This was the great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with the youth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved the youth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trained the youth. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the very same youth of his time, who probably were some of them were in the worst of evils, made them to be the shining stars of the ummah. Most of the sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were youth. The famous names that we hear, they were all youth. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he was a youth. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a youth. Abdullah ibn Abbas was a youth. Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala was a youth. Bara ibn Azib was a youth. And the name goes on and on. All the famous names of the Sahaba that you hear, many of them were the youth that way in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If any calamity would fall on the youth, this would be painful to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, in the early stages of the life of Madinatul Munawwara, the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have accepted Islam. Send with us some youth who are educated, who know the Quran, and who could teach us and educate us on the Quran. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose 70 youth, described in the hadith as those who would work in the day, do hard labor, and at night they would engage in the tilawat of the Quran Kareem. 70 such youth Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched to go and teach a nation. The kuffar of Makkah deceived the youth. They killed, they plotted, they assassinated 70 sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were all youth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was deeply affected with the loss of these youth. For an entire month, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Fajr Salat would read Qunut-e Nazila. When we are faced with any calamity, then we read Qunut-e Nazila. Calamity that comes to the ummah, we recite Qunut-e Nazila. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for an entire month, the hadith is in Bukhari in the second volume in the chapter of Maghazi. For an entire month, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Qunut-e Nazila and mourning the death of these youngsters and these youth. When the battle of Hunain took place, there was initial defeat. Many of the sahaba dispersed. Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was among the youth, he narrates and he says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in front. The youth were encouraged with the leadership of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They joined Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they turned that entire war from defeat into victory. This is the strength of the youth. The Quran Kareem that we recite, the compilation of the Quran Kareem, it is actually the barakat of a youth. Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a scribe, a katib. Whenever wahi used to come down, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu to write down the revelation. Zayd ibn Sabit was a youngster, he was a youth, intelligent person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his entire trust of wahi. How important wahi revelation. Nabi Kareem placed his trust on a youth, on Zayd ibn Sabit. After the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he compiled the Quran Kareem. Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and told him, in the battle of Yamama, many qurra, many youth have become shaheed, we should compile the Quran Kareem. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala first refused. When he was then convinced, both of these two great illustrious sahaba, they got together and they approached a youth, Zayd ibn Sabit. They told to him that we want you we are charging you with the responsibility of compiling the Quran Kareem. Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala said, how can I do something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't do? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't compile the Quran Kareem. They kept on convincing him. As a youth, he maintained his independent mind. But when he was convinced, then he was charged with the responsibility of compiling the Quran Kareem. Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him that you are an intelligent person. Allah the Rasul places trust in you. And you are a youngster, you've got quwwat and taqat in you, you are both fit for the responsibility. The most respected elders and friends, our youth, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had played a lot of trust in them, and they play a very important, vital role. When Dajjal will come out, such a great fitna, such a great test upon the ummah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, all the previous Anbiya, they warned the people about Dajjal. And I also warn you about Dajjal. Rasulullah even mentioned, there wouldn't be a greater test upon the Ummah than the test of Dajjal. But the person that will confront Dajjal, when Dajjal will come out and he will claim divinity, he will claim that he is Allah. But the person that is going to confront Dajjal won't be an elderly person. He won't be a very young person. He'll be a shabab. He'll be a youth. He will confront Dajjal. And he will tell Dajjal that you are not Allah. Dajjal will kill him. Split him into two. Bring him back to life. Again, because of his strength as a youngster, he would stand up again and he would say, I'm even more convinced that you are the Dajjal of the time that Allah the Rasul has told us. Every Fridays, we hear a khutbah where we praise our great illustrious Sahaba. We salute them. They were the shining stars of the Ummah. And one phrase we normally hear there about the two beloved grandsons of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The statement, Hassan wal Hussein, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they will be the leaders of the youth of Jannah. Most respected elders and friends, in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Ash-shabab shu'batum min al-junoon. When a person is young, he is in his youth, there's a biological change that takes place within himself. He is growing physically, he is also growing mentally. He is coming across and exploring so many different things in his life. And because of that passion, that desire within himself, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that shabab, a youth, it is a branch of insanity. It is a branch of junoon. And some people have encapsulated in one word that the mindset of a youth, the world of the youth, if you have to peep into the brain of the youth, then there's only one statement that will come out of him. I, me, and myself. I, me, and myself. Nobody else. A youth only concentrates on the concept of individualism. There's no such thing as plurality in a youth. He's only worried about his own self. And that is why it is very, very important for us to concentrate on the youth, understand the youth, and try to help and assist the youth. Till yesterday, I didn't know what I'm going to talk about. So this morning when I came Fajr Salah, so Bhai Mustafa Saab came to me and he told to me, can you please announce that there's going to be a youth program taking place here? You'll see the announcement there on the notice board. So that occurred to me that I should probably talk something about the youth. So whilst going back to a Darul Iftah, so I spoke to some of my beloved youngsters from various countries. Some of them are from Mauritius, some of them are from Holland, some of them from UK, some of them from America. So they're all youngsters. So I asked them one question. I said, what are the challenges of the youth? How do you feel as a youth? What is the condition of the youth in your countries? And what are they looking forward for? I told him to write down the observations. So I've gathered some of the observations here with me and I want to share it with you. Just to understand the mindset of the youth and what the youth is thinking and how important it is for us to serve and help the youth of today. From the many observations, because of time constraint, I will just share a few with you. Otherwise, every observation that was given to me by every student was most valuable. One student from Holland, he says to me, and I say, the educational system in the West advocates one to have a rational answer to every question. That's where the youth want to think. Everything they want us to rationalize, but have a logical explanation to everything. Allah being omnipotent is something we all believe, but answering the objections of the atheists is not an easy task. So he says, in Holland, I was asked by a group of youngsters, if Allah is all powerful, can he create a stone which Allah himself cannot lift? Now, if a youth have to ask this question and we are unable to answer it, it even risks his iman. How are we going to counsel the youth on these kind of imani related questions? He goes on further to say, studying, working in a mixed environment, such as schools and colleges, one is bound to see the opposite gender. In schools, one will have to work with them, talk to them, sometimes complete certain projects together with them, and in most cases, it creates a spark in the heart of both of them, in the male and the female. Not knowing how to address the issue with one's father or with one's mother, and having no one to turn to, one is forced to keep silent. This is exactly what many of our youth are also facing today. And then he says, when you go outdoors, there's no father, there's no mother, the youth can see that the spark that's in his heart now is becoming a burning fire. This is observation of one student that came from Holland about the thinking of the youth and what's in the mindset of the youth. Another student from United States, he says, the biggest challenge for the youth that I've dealt with in America is falling prey to peer pressure. And everyone, parents also understand that how our children fall prey to peer pressure. Most of the youth are not comfortable at being labeled as Muslims, especially when they speak about the West. They feel shy, they feel afraid and being judged by others. Due to this, they try to fit in with others, even if it means compromising with their own faith and values. A third observation, and this observation is coming from a student that is coming from Zambia. He says, finding the parents, the ustads, and the ulama to be negative or judgmental when they try to change their lives. Don't be negative to youth. Create positivity in them. And he further says, the core problem is our youth, they lack a regimented upbringing based on Islamic values. A fourth student from the UK, he says, and I'm just quoting one paragraph, otherwise they've written in much detail. What do the youth like? One thing I've seen and noticed is that youth demand attention. They love it when they are given attention. And when they see someone, they want that person to hear them out. If they're not given that attention, and they are not open to us, and they continue going down deeper and deeper into the issues, into more negativity. Another student, very detailed, but I'll just read one portion of what he says and I will proceed. He says, children should be encouraged to study hard in academics, and they should be encouraged to pursue professions of their own while having training them into Sharia compliant aspects in every aspect of their lives. Most respected elders and friends, we can see from these observations what is in the mind of the youth and how the youth, they require our help and our assistance. And we're not going to give them that help and assistance, then we are going to lose an important aspect of our community, the youth. We look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in Makkatul Mukarramah. There were so many different type of evils in Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't expect the people to come to him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself went to the people. He went to the old, he went to the young, he also went to the youth. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the people out from that evil. What is required in our community, some very responsible cadres who can dirty their hands. Allah's Rasul was pure. Allah's Rasul was the purest of the pure. But the purest of the pure went to the most dirtiest places and removed the people from the dirt and made them pure. We need responsible people to dirty our hands, go out there. Not all the youth, not all people come to a masjid. Not all of them would like to interact with us. But there are some people that are lost outside there. We need some responsible cadres who can even go out there, and those people that are lost in the dirt there, to take them out from there, cleanse them, polish them, and make them also shining stars. This was the great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our youth need love. Our youth need attention. Yes, I do acknowledge dealing with youth is a very delicate issue. The other day, one person came up to me and he told to me, we should stop treating our youth like the people of the past where you just take out a stick. You need to give them lollipops. So I told him, that's fine, but we also need to be responsible enough. You give a youth one lollipop, he'll ask for the second one and he'll finish all your lollipops. So we have to be very, very careful, delicate balance between how to be firm with them and at the same time to show them love and attention. And before I conclude, I just want to address my beloved youth with two important things. First and foremost, our youth. When somebody is giving you advice, be open to the advice. Take it with good spirit. Why is it when somebody is giving you advice, then you immediately become defensive? You feel offended. Why don't you keep your heart open? Sometimes it's your parents giving you advice. Sometimes people who love you, that are near and dear you, give you advice. Do you think that they hate you? That's your misunderstanding. Keep yourself open. And maybe the advice that they give you will be most valuable and will be a changing point in your life. The second advice, be careful of your friends. Who your friends and your associates are. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalili. A man is in a path of his friend. You associate with a friend, what he's thinking, what his philosophy is going to rub onto you. You stay in the company of the good and naked and pious people, like the program they're going to be taking in this masjid, then you'll find some positive effects coming into you. One youngster, he was praising his friend in front of his father, bragging about his friend. Father, my friend is like this, my friend is like that, my friend is like this, my friend is like that. The father was curious that, let me see who is a friend of my son. So he told his son, make an appointment tomorrow 7 o'clock, I want to go and see your friend. The following day, the father deliberately delayed. He said, 7 o'clock, he went 8 o'clock. Went and tapped at the door of the friend came out furious, angry. Wasn't the appointment 7 o'clock? Why you came 1 hour late? So the father told his son, is this your friend? That the tolerance that he's got. Come. Let me take you to my friend. The following night, 12 o'clock at night, the father took his son to his friend's house, who he didn't meet for 10 years. He tapped at the door. And after a little while, one old man came out with three things in his hands. He had a walking stick. He had a container of food. He had a container and a packet. So, when the friend met one another, he met his friend, he asked him, what do you have in your hand? He says, firstly, you tapped at my door 12 o'clock at night. I have the stick in my hand. I thought maybe somebody is troubling you. I thought I should hit that person or give you the stick to hit that person. Second, I thought maybe you're hungry, so I brought some food to give you. Third, this packet is some money in there, and I thought maybe you're in financial constraints. I want to give you this money to help and assist you. The father looked at his son. He said, compare my friend with your friend. Most respected elder and friends and beloved youth, take advantage of these kind of programs. Sit in the company of the ulama. Go wherever there's ulama programs, go there, benefit from those kind of programs and bring about a change in your life. I want to conclude with just one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned sab'ah. Seven people, yudhilluhum Allahu fi dhilli, yawma la dhilla illa dhilla arshi. On the day of Qiyamah, there won't be any shade, but the shade of the throne of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It will be that day when the sun will be just above our heads. Everybody will be soaking in the sweat. And People were just looking for shade. And imagine getting a shade under the throne of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned among the seven fortunate people, Shabun Nasha'a fi ibadati Rabbi. A youth, a youngster who spent his youth in the worship, in the ibadat of Allah, always trying to correcting himself, trying to create Allah conscious within himself. If a youth spend his life in that condition, then he would secure himself in the court of Almighty Allah, under the arsh of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. When a person does something very good, shows some very good results, then you get medals. Every youth, they look forward for the medals. And your medal, if you suppress your wishes, your desires, solely for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, your medal will be from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, under the arsh of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Allah look after our youth, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala make us among those people who listen to the elders, and the elders can show love and muhabbat to our youth. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.